You're listening to the Cosmic Code Podcast for the evolution of consciousness. Here's your host, Vince Calvin.
So thrilled as we're moving forward to what will be the world's largest online-only convention of its type. I'm Vince Calvin, and today we have a guest that recently was on the Dr. Phil show as a relationship expert, and personally speaking to you as somebody who has been helping people in matters of love, sex, romance, and relationships for now near 3 decades. I am absolutely fascinated because I witnessed from him things that no one is able to grasp, and most of all, experience and create for himself and others. So he is the number one relationship expert in the world. Here we are with my spiritual brother, Raj Sipar the Bizarre. How are you, brother?
Hey, brother. I feel absolutely unstoppable, I guess is how I feel. And I feel that we are in the most important times of planet Earth in a very long time. I'm very happy to be here.
So, brother, what is the true essence of relationships that most don't grasp? Everybody wants relationships, is in a relationship with themselves, with other people. What is it that they miss out on? What is the true essence of relationships?
The answer is very simple. The answer is understanding. Relationship is understanding. Whenever a relationship breaks, it's either you legitimately have two bad people or one bad person, which is very rare, or you have a misunderstanding. So many relationships fall apart when both people love each other still. You know, it's very rare that that's not the case, actually. So we say people fall out of love and stuff. I don't think so. I've gotten to the level in my life where I have ex-girlfriends that I'm completely, completely, completely in love with, in the sense of, unless there's another man in their life, and there isn't, then I'm going to continue to interact with that individual as if they were with me, meaning like I'm going to take care of them the way I was, I would protect them, I'm there for them. If we're not together because they choose not to be with me because of the way that I live, that doesn't change the way I feel about them. Now, if they choose to have another man in their life, at that moment, I definitely don't feel the way I did about them. So it's very interesting. It's an understanding thing in a relationship. If you want to make it work, both people have to go into a relationship not to necessarily change the other person, but to understand the other person as fully as possible. Then we have a relationship. And that goes for student and teacher also, not just, that goes for mother and child and father and child, every relationship. That's the essence.
Brother, you mentioned the word misunderstanding, and it's so easy for people to be under a false impression. Looking back at many of the personal or professional relationships I've had, through my life, I realized that oftentimes it could have been avoided, but it really was a misunderstanding. How does one avoid a misunderstanding?
That is the big question that I'm every day. It's not how does one avoid misunderstanding. I think the question is how does one gain more understanding? And I think that's it. It's a state of mind that one has to have internally. It's not can't be given. I can't make someone understand. A person must have a desire to want to understand me or a subject. If a person doesn't have a desire to understand the subject, you can't teach them that subject, right? They're there to just disprove the subject or to just show somebody that they tried and it didn't work. What we need is genuine interest in somebody to want to understand, which is learn the components of something and why they fit together the way they do. And what happens if they fit together differently and all kinds of things. So that's that's a personal thing. How does one avoid misunderstanding? I think then one just realizes that it's one's job to keep understanding. So if something doesn't make sense, let's say, for example, you and I have been friends for years now. And let's say something happens where you hear I said something negative about you, or I hear you said something negative, who knows, whatever, right? And suddenly I don't understand. What should I do? I should seek understanding. By what? By going and talking to 10 people about it? No, I should, Vince, I heard this, is that what's going on? Is that true? Is it not true? If it is, why? If it's not, why? Like, then through dialogue, we come to the understanding that someone's been lying to create some kind of situation for us. But if I don't have a desire to understand that, then the moment someone says something, I say, I knew he was crooked from the first day. Right? I just knew it. Thanks for telling me. I just knew it. So it was the way he looked at me one time. Right? And that's what relationships have become, because each person has become so unethical in their own behavior that they're afraid of being looked at. So the moment something seems wrong, they immediately assume it's got to be really bad. So I give the relationship the opposite perspective. I tell the person I'm with, look, I'm going to start with trust. When I say you're my woman or you're my friend, it means I trust you. You've already earned that, right? Now, if something happens, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to assume this is either a lie or it's a misunderstanding, but I'm not going to assume you're purposely trying to harm me. But that's ridiculous to think that. That's just absurd. Like, if you think that, you should not be in a relationship. But then we treat it as if someone's doing something purposefully. We have to treat it as if it's an accidental mistake. And, you know, innocent until proven guilty when you're in a relationship. When you're not in a relationship, guilty until proven innocent. That's the difference. That's why someone should try to get close to you. Someone should try to get close to you, because once they break to that inner circle, you consider them innocent until someone proves them guilty, no matter what anybody says. You've had your own observation. And otherwise, everyone is guilty until proven innocent, because I don't know you. I mean, I have no idea what your intentions are. That you have to take the time to display that through different scenarios and time, right? And that's what women, hot women, do to men. They need time before they spread their legs, right? Good. It makes sense, because they're about to invest a lot. And I think as you become more and more powerful as a man, you also begin to pay attention to people and go, oh, I have a lot invested in me by you becoming my friend or you becoming my girlfriend or something. And, you know, the damage that one can do, it can be pretty big if you allow the wrong people around you. Anyways, I can go on, but that's it.
So what constitutes of a truly healthy relationship?
Yes. It's going to have intimacy on more than one level. The first level of intimacy must be conversation. Conversation is the intimacy of the mind. This has to. Next, sex must be part of your weekly ritual. Now, you know, my longest relationship is 14 years and some days now, some months. And you have to make sure keep sex once a week. And now maybe that sounds like, oh, that's it, once a week? Yeah, definitely. When you first get with somebody, you might be having sex a lot, which I don't even recommend at all. But the point is, you need intimate conversation, which is the glue. That's the thing that's going to either keep you together to a guy who has a better conversation than you. Be careful. The man with a golden tongue. Because not only is he going to charm her mind with that tongue, he's going to lick her pussy too. You know what I'm saying? Be careful with that guy. That's the dangerous man, is the man who could have a conversation with her in a way where she walks off and goes, man, he gets me. No, he listens. Right? So that's the secret to a relationship. But then there has to be physical intimacy too. There has to be physical intimacy. And that's the responsibility of the man. The whole thing is the responsibility of the man. You know, you can't put it in her hands, because you're supposed to lead. So if you put it in her hands, she's leading. You lead the relationship, right? And you make sure that you're having conversations with her and that you're having intimacy physically, and that there's always some sort of a excitement in your life that she can be part of. And that's every man's life. Like, your life should be exciting to you, even if you love doing video games, right? I use that as an example because that's the last thing people think could work. But I could make that work. If I'm into video games, I'm going to have a whole harem of women that are going to be into video games. I think that's even easier because you can just pick them off really easily in that area. And there's women in that area. In every area, there's women. And everybody must go in that area and specialize in hunting in that area. Some guys are good at strip clubs. Some guys are good at bars. Some guys are, about yourself, Vince, street pickup. I've never seen anybody do street pickup like Vince Kelvin does. I really haven't. So, and I've seen everyone, right? But myself, I'm not very good at street pickup. It's not true that I'm not very good at it. But let's just say there was the Olympics of it, and we had 5 hours. I would not want to go against you if it came to street pickup. Why? Because I'm not going to get the gold medal on that. Like, I could be incredible, but you're just at a different level with this thing. So I think that people should understand that you could have the life you want, you could have the fulfillment you want by being inspired and learning these skills, but then adapting it to your life, which is what I've done, which is what Vince has done, which is Nautica has done that industry. The top people have adapted the pickup arts, the seduction arts, the social dynamics to their life. That's what it's supposed to be. And I think that's the big message for this convention for me when I come over there. I'm going to show everybody that they've been sitting on a weapon that the Illuminati wanted. You know what I mean? It's a downfall of the Illuminati right now is the fact that they couldn't control their penises. And I'm always on the power of sex, you know? And they're about to be brought down because of their pedophilia and the fact that they're just dirty. They're just dirty. You know, and the fact that the President of the United States right now, Donald Trump, has been scrutinized so heavily for 4 years, the man must be very, very clean. Because if there was one dirty sexual past, they would have been on it. And all they came up with was that he said, "I grabbed her by the pussy." Now, if he hadn't said that, he wouldn't even be worthy of the crown he's wearing. He's just not even worthy of a man to not be able to say the word pussy. You know what I mean? Anyways, go Trump, 2020.
So the... You said a moment ago it's the man's responsibility, but it's easy to get caught into the blame game in relationships. What's the remedy to avoid blaming her as a co-pilot should not take responsibility?
Okay. We have evolved in this game. This is not the same world anymore for everybody. So everybody should understand that a man doesn't get into a relationship any longer. Well, I just realized something. Let me invite everybody to a planet called Planet ING. And the ruler is AZD, but it's a different kind of ruling. I'm not a ruler that rules over other men. I'm a ruler that rules over the truth of that world. That's what makes me the king of the world. I'm the most ethical, honest being in my own universe. I stick to my rules. And when people follow my rules and my philosophy, their life changes. So from the world that I'm speaking from, which is everybody's in this world if I'm being interviewed, from here, a man in my planet, universe, never gets with a woman to fall in love. He gets with a woman because he sees in her something that inspires him conquer the dragons in life. If she doesn't inspire that, she is not worth anything besides $20 for a blowjob, $50 for a fuck, and $100 overnight. That's that woman. And the samurai in my world sees that clearly. There's a lot of privilege in having those women. You should know a lot of those women. You should have places where you can go and drink all night and smoke with your friends, and whether that's drinking tea or drinking ayahuasca or drinking alcohol. You and your warriors should go somewhere where women know how to entertain you, where they're going to be ladylike. They're going to come to you and say, "Hi, nice sword. And did you come from battle?" And you laugh, and you pay her $20-$30 and she sits on your lap and has sex with you in the back. We all need that. But that's not the woman we go to battle for. There's that one other one where you look and something about her stretch your heart, and you go, "Fuck, I need to take care of her." You're like, what the hell is that shit? I love her. What the fuck? I can't love her. I don't know this bitch. I will die for her. That is what
God, let's say, or nature, whatever you believe in, put inside each of us. We all know this language. And I've used that to become one of the most powerful and dangerous men on planet Earth. And that's, I will show you guys that. I don't say that lightly. But I've used the energy of the woman and the chaos that it creates in my world to create a universe that now is a magnet for women. So there here, because a man from this world doesn't walk around with a sword on his waist if he has the word blame. Blame in my world breaks down into be lame. So if any man wants to be lame, then he must blame a woman. Otherwise, you're a samurai. You're a ninja. You haven't graduated to a man yet. This is the social sciences. This is the University of Oxford and Stanford and Princeton. These people have to have one of the most important classes, which is social sciences, right? Social anthropology. That's us. This is not for little kids. So I think what we need to learn in this evolution, as we're coming to the new age or whatever, not to say whatever, but as we come to the new age, we have to learn that we don't disrespect our art by having childlike questions. And I think if there's a man out there who's asking, how do I not blame her, he has to step back and look at the weapon he's wielding. This is a gun in someone's hand, okay? We should put that away, grab a plastic gun, come back when you know what a bullet is, okay? We don't blame anybody. So that's the answer.
Beautiful, brother. Now, many, I think this question might be a touch redundant, but I love the flow that it's creating. How does one avoid codependency? Because personally on my side, I have noticed that the majority of people who think they're in love, like what you mentioned a moment ago, are not really in love. They're becoming codependent. So this is kind of a question for those who've not been exposed to any of your work, you know, with the event of the show that you're in. Many more people than those who are familiar with our work or pickup community will begin to benefit. So how does one first understand that it's not love, it's codependency, and what's the true difference, recommendations around that topic? Please, brother.
I have about three ideas here that are going to really help. And then two of them come from different areas, but let me just grab them. The first one comes from a philosopher named Jean-Paul Sartre. And it's one of my most favorite quotes, one of the most favorite ideas. Like, the man should, wherever he's at right now, in whichever universe, he should get a prize around his neck for coming up with an idea that I'm going to say. He said, in a relationship, it's not 1 + 1 = 2. In a relationship, it's 1 + 1 = 1. I really like that shit. I use that. And when we talk about codependency, I think that there's a better word that I use. It's called interdependency. And interdependency would be the flower depends on the sunlight and the manure and the minerals and the water. All of those things go into the flower, and we see the flower, but the flower is not just a flower. It's interdependent on all these things. And I got that from the teacher Thich Nhat Hanh. That's a Zen Buddhist teacher. So now we got Sartre, we got Thich Nhat Hanh, right? And these are their ideas, the interdependency of the flower. You can't separate it from anything. You can't separate the sunlight from anything. You can't separate we're all interdependent. So to say that I'm not dependent on anybody else, complete lie, and I'm not going to start there. But to say codependency, put co down. But if I say interdependent, and I say, look, by coming in contact with you as a being now, we start a relationship. You and I interdepend on each other. Now, without me, you already are there, and I'm over here. But when we interact, we interdepend. What does it mean? Well, here's an example. There is Vince Kelvin. He's already a legend in the game, doing his thing. Here's Arash Dibazar. He's coming up. We're not codependent. But then when we come across each other, we become interdependent. Yes, your survival does affect me. Mine does affect you. If suddenly
I'm debunked or you're debunked as the biggest joke on the planet and a liar and a sex scam and, you know what I mean, and child trafficking, well, it's going to affect the other person. You put too much emphasis on the other person. On the other side, right, you go on CNN, I come up. And I go on Dr. Phil, you come up. Why? We're interdependent now. Now, let's say it cuts at some point. We've seen this happen in our business many, many times, right? I go one way, my old student, Akito, goes another way. He was teaching. Well, where is he now? Well, was he codependent? No, we were interdependent. We separated, and now he's doing what he's doing, and I'm here. I'm still interdependent on all my relationships, right? Like, if I give a shout-out to some of the top IMC Nation names, these guys, we've seen them come from not being known to expressing their genius on a world scale now. There's names from different fields that are now names. People know them and all. And I mean, I take a lot of pride in that. So I'm interdependent on my tribe to them becoming stronger, too. I'm not, yes, at the same time, I am who I am, and I'll continue. You see, so it gets really goofy. The idea of codependency, and I think what we need to do is realize that that word was put to us by psychologists and psychiatrists who didn't know what the hell was happening. They were trying to enslave mankind. And so we have a new terminology, and that new terminology says interdependent. A relationship is interdependent, and you decide that you and this other person are going to be more interdependent than others. And then when you separate, you're still interdependent. You can't separate me from the Mexican farmer who made the lettuce that I fucking ate this morning. You can't separate me from the cow that I had last night. And that cow, you know, we're so interdependent, and I think that's the real idea of we're all one. On that level, you could prove how much of me has been around already and is getting processed into the earth again, right? I think this is a great conversation. We talk about these all day, right?
Well, yes, beautiful, beautiful. I'm curious, brother. You know, last year I revisited cities that I had not visited in quite some time. And I came across a world record of guys that the moment one girl popped in their life, they dropped the ball, they stopped growing, and suddenly 10 years down the road, 5 years down the road, it's a disaster. So what recommendations would you have to make sure that men continue to grow, that it's not a task, and suddenly, well, I got the girl, I'm good with that, now I'm going to work on my business? Because I've seen the price, and for some, it really, really, really wasn't pretty to witness the condition they were in, because they were off to a good start, it was a little light to start with, and then on top of that, they just, they were vacationers, they just wanted to pass by, get a quick fix, and they didn't really nurture that, and they ended up in really undesirable situations that I would not wish on people. Well, it appeared that it got disconnected. AZD got disconnected. So I'm going to fill in with a recommendation, and hopefully is going to be back in just a second, although it was so surreal. Rich, so we're doing the online edition of a convention called the Cosmic Code. It focuses on three main aspects of your life. Number one, a total reboot at the level of emotional, mental, and spiritual. Even when things are absolutely fine, like furniture gathers dust, we are going to erode
a little. I got cut out,
brother. I'm happy that you're back. I was just letting the guys know about the three main topics of the convention. But anyway, I'll let you guys read about it. There is a link to it in the description that came with this podcast. So I pass it back to you, brother.
What were we saying? I don't even remember.
We were talking about the tendency that too many men have to treat it as a task. They get the girl and that's it. They stop growing. And of course, it's not nurtured. So we fish them back down the road in messed up situations. So what would you recommend for somebody? They have a fairly good sense of things. It's an early stage. They meet a girl, what would be the best protocol to ensure that this will grow and eventually also that they can have an extended relationship? Initially, a lot of the PUA guys were not known to be in very long-term relationship, and you just said that you were in a 14-plus-year relationship, which props for that. And on top of that, it's not the only relationship. So pass it back to you, conclusion around that topic, and then we'll wrap it up for today.
Yeah, well, I have a 14-year relationship plus relationship. I have a 9-year, which is my second relationship, which is 9 years, a long fucking time. My other one is 4 years, and the other one is 3 years. So my lightest relationship is a 3-year relationship, which I think is I think 3 years is decent for someone to say we've established some sort of a commitment to each other in 3 years. That's three times 365 days of having to overcome some kind of bullshit with each other, you know? So I do believe in relationships. I think they're incredible, actually, and I think they're very fulfilling. I think that, once again, I hold this art form one of the dangerous art forms.
It broke up just a touch, brother. Would you repeat your last sentence? There was a little something on the line.
Can you hear me now?
Please. Yes. We can hear you perfectly.
Okay. I consider this art form as one of the most dangerous and powerful art forms on earth. And I don't say that lightly. I'm not like a fantasy football playing guy. I'm a guy who has demonstrated at 43 years old that I get my hands dirty in life on a lot of levels that would be worthy of movies. So this is by far the most dangerous ideas that I've ever come across, and it has resulted in catapulting me in the world today armed with nothing more than my communication and my mind, nothing else. Not born to anything special that would be recognized by the world, not been given any privileges, in fact, the opposite. I stand at the top, and I know I'm ready to shake hands with anybody on the planet, hold my gaze with them, and teach them something that they're going to find very, very valuable. It's going to change their lives. So I believe that when men understand what subject they're studying, they understand that the woman coming into their life and going and becoming more women and less women, it's a continuous flow. It's like the river. It's the river of life. And these women are literally being swept next to me in a river, and I just pluck them out. That's how I see it. And I get to rescue a few of them. They get to stand on the shore with me in this beautiful island of sanity. And they get to live with me. One's been with me for 14 years and this and that. And they sit up. I let them live in this world. And sometimes many times I come back and they've put fire to the house I built for them. And they've shit on the floor. And they've invited enemies into my camp. And I'm sad to let them go. But I push them back into the river. And I see them just get swept up so fast into the world, the matrix. I think every man should understand you hold in your hands the ideas, the keys that unlock the basics of creation. That's what I'm here to teach, nothing less. And I'm here to prove it, and I am proving it. I need to be disproven. I don't need any more proof than my own life and my own interactions, and I invite everyone to come and see it live. You're going to have to reconsider what you think is possible with people. This is a different level, but it's an evolution. We're not revolutionists at INC Nation. We're evolutionists. This is not a revolution. This is an evolution of the mind and communication. That's who we are.
Brother, thank you for the richness that you bring. Usually when I refer to you, I say game from a different galaxy. From the future. So you were listening to another episode of the Cosmic Code Podcast. I am your host, Vince Kelvin, and today we got the luxury to spend time with the number one relationship expert on the planet, Raj Jaipur Dibazar. Thank you so very much, brother.
Thank you, brother.
And be certain that you look at the link to witness how diverse and how surreal the lineup is for the Cosmic Code online-only edition coming up June 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th. Stay safe and stay sexy.
To experience the magic of the world's largest online convention ever, go to CosmicCodeConvention.com.